AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Barry, third year in a row. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, listen, I was keep saying it forever. You were our first guest ever. So I have to thank you for everything. When we were just an idea, you were the one first one that came and sat with us, gave us an interview, so that will never go unnoticed. I appreciate that.
No problem at all. You're one of the few people in Westport that should be praised more than anybody. I always talk to some of the people in other schools, and they're always like, who's the people that do Prepsil? Because... And they're always asking, is that specifically Stables? And I'm like, yeah, we're lucky because we have that. We have that coverage across all sports. So thank you for being you and doing what you do.
No, I appreciate it. Listen, and I got to tell you, so from last season, I got so many questions about the last interview we had, which was the New Canaan game, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And then you just said, I remember you saying, I just want to reminisce a little bit about last season when you said, some days the ball doesn't want to go in. Remember that interview?
I do, yeah.
Summarize last year for us.
I really enjoyed last year. We've had years where we've won trophies and stuff and ascended in major highs. But I really enjoyed the season. The group of players we have were great. Every day of training, we laughed, we worked hard, we won together, we lost together. It was a really good year. It had different types of challenges. And as we approached it, as we approached the season going in, I knew New Canaan would be good. And we talked on the first game.
Yeah.
And we beat them 1-0 in a really close game where they hit the post early through Claire Grice and they could have went 1-0 up. And people were texting me after that game going, oh, you only beat New Canaan 1-0? And I specifically remember it saying, like, only. And I said to everybody, this is a team that'll do well this year. They're good. And turned out they ended up winning everything they could possibly win. And when we talked after the New Canaan semifinal, I always kind of look at the reaction of the players and how I feel it myself. We got beat by a team that deserved a win that day, and we threw everything at them. We kept rolling the dice. We threw everything we could, and the ball just didn't go in for us. It went in for them, and they deserved the goals when they got them in the game, and they held on. They were very resolute in their defending, so sometimes you just have to offer credit to the other team and just say congratulations, you know. And thankfully for them, they went on and secured an FCAC title and a state title, and I think it's their first in 15 years or something. And knowing those group of players, with Paige Place and Sydney Patton, they deserved that. They've been top players in the FCAC for 4 years, so in my eyes, they deserved everything they got.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, some years it goes your way, some years it don't. But like I said, it wasn't anything that I felt like you said, you threw everything in there. You played hard, you know, you did. And I know this. At least the second one was it was a counterattack, and those things happen. It's the way soccer plays a lot of times, right? It's just like it is what it is. But it was fun. I mean, I thought it was so much fun. The battles with St. Joe's last year were great. You know, that's always a fun game. But you know, let's talk about this year. So I know the preseason has been going really well for you guys. We're following. We're recording today a couple of days before the season gets started here. But talk about the season, talk about the team a little bit, what you got going on, your players and things like that.
Well, following last year, we actually graduated quite a few good players. And then, obviously, Natalie not playing this year is the big story surrounding the FCAC. Because when you lose the best player in the state, that everybody's like, oh my God, Natalie's not playing. It's a big thing. But for her, she's moving on to something that's way more challenging in a professional setting that Gotham and training with the boys at New York Soccer Club that I personally feel will make her ready for Duke. For the rest of our squad, it's now a young, talented team being led by 8 seniors, and those 8 seniors have been a part of it for 3 years, and they're really excited. They have their opportunity to kind of take their mantle. And this is why I love high school sports, is every 4 years you have a refresher.
Yeah,
and we've had Annabelle Edwards and Katie Fitzgerald and Natalie Chudowski for good, the best part of 4 years, even though Natalie came in as a year younger, best part of 4 years. Now it's a good opportunity for someone else. They go, no, I want to be the star.
Right.
It's my turn. It's my turn to step up and show the league who I am. And I think we have a few players that might catch some people by surprise.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's going to catch me by surprise. I mean, I think from last year, Alexa, Addy,
yeah.
I mean, Emily, you know, I mean, they were huge contributors last year as freshmen.
Yeah.
I mean, they came in, and I remember the first game that again, go back to the New Canaan game, like, I'm seeing, you know, who was on the left side of that game? That was someone, it wasn't your CFC players, or left or right side. Was it Emily Shio or
Alexa Van Aken?
Alexa Van Aken. Yeah. But on the back, there was a defender. Besides Addy, there was somebody that played on the right.
Willa,
yeah. I'm like, where are these defenders coming from, right? Because they were chasing players down. And you're right, because that game was like a free kick by Natalie. That was won that game. But other than that, like, you guys played great. So this young team, and again, they're sophomores this year.
Yeah.
And last year they played great. But talk about the development of them coming up so early and just being, you know, setting the program up so well.
I think it's part of the joy of coaching girls. At boys, it's more difficult. They put throw freshmen into the deep end because the physicality is just so vast. Mm-hmm. But in girls, generally, if you're good enough, you can compete against the girls that are 4 years older than you. With the three freshmen we took last year, they showed it as freshmen they could compete. Addy being an all-FCAC first team player as a freshman was a huge testament to the type of athlete she is. And then she went on to be a varsity basketball player and a varsity lacrosse player. So we've got a good kid on our hands here. Yeah. We kind of like to throw these kids in the deep end that challenges their development. And if they're the athletes we think they are, which they turned out to be, then they'll rise to the occasion. And I think all three of them really did last year. And I think they could be heavy contributors this year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I said, I remember, I think I talked to Alexa once last year. You know, she had a really good game. She plays left, she plays right, she plays the center, you know. And I'm just really excited. I think it's like you said, you always look at new season. You know, you got Taylor coming back. She played great last year. Yeah. Same thing with Riley. I know Riley's big physical up front, so she's going to be Maddie, you know.
Maddie will play up front. And if there's any defenders that are worried about size and then they come up against 2 6-foot strikers, it's going to be...
stuff, right?
It's intimidating stuff they look at. Yeah.
I always say you can't teach height and speed, right? So no. If you have them, you have it. You got left leg. And let's touch a little bit on goal too. So because Sam has been your goalie for quite a few years.
Yeah.
So who you got coming in this year is going to play?
We've got Evelyn Borey, who she's absolutely paid her dues. She's one of my captains this year. She's been in the program 3 years, just kind of waiting for her turn. And now this is her turn. And then we also have a sophomore goalkeeper, Ricky Frankel, who's also excellent. We've divided time between those two through the whole preseason. And to be honest, not a lot separates either of them. Evelyn's getting the nod because she's been around for so long, and waited her turn and paid her dues. And I think she's slightly edging it, just being a senior and being a captain and being around it. But if it's one of those where if Evelyn is hurt or slips a little bit, Ricky's biting at her heels to get her opportunity. Yeah. And if I feel pretty confident when both of them are in goal.
Great.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried about in goal. I think we've got... I actually mentioned it after the game yesterday. I don't know exactly how we match up to the rest of the league because the rest of the league lost players and they've had their own preseason and stuff. We'll not know until we play. But I actually think we're really deep across all positions, which is nice.
Yeah, it is like I said, and you know, when you've had so much success now this preseason, you know, and heading on, obviously we have some games we circle on the calendar and all that, but the expectations for this year with this young squad, how do you think you're going to do in the FCAC state tournaments? I know it's very early, but what is your overall feeling?
My expectations and goals doesn't change for the team. Every year, it's try and get to the top four of the FCAC, get a home game for quarterfinals. Once we get that home game, it's get to the semis, and then it's anybody's.
Yeah.
And last year, New Canaan proved that getting to the semis, it was anybody's, and it became theirs. And then for states, it's always try and finish in the group that gives us a home game, first round or second round, and then kind of just see how we progress. Pardon me. We're always looking at trying to get the semifinals. If we can get the semifinals, then we're in contention, and that goal doesn't change this year, even though we're young.
Yeah, and you proved it last year, right? I mean, I think even with that young team, and you know, you had a lot of seniors, but and we were talking before, and I want to just shift gears a little bit. What you and I were talking, and I want to bring this up. you know, last year you had a real big senior class, mm-hmm. and a lot of them, you know, some of them played, some of them didn't, but they always stay within the program.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on that because I think I mentioned to you before, you know, that was the first game of the season. It was brought to my attention about how, you know, how the program is, how the culture is around the program. Is there something specific that you do that the program does that kind of, you know, even if, you know, understanding that these players sometimes might not get the playing time they think they deserve or, you know, that they want, but they stay with the unit.
Yeah. How,
what's that all about?
I don't know necessarily how to define what makes that great, but it is something that when Mackenzie and I first came into Staples, we wanted to change the culture around it. We didn't want three teams to be, that's the freshman team, that's the JV team, that's the varsity team. We always wanted to be called a program. We always said it's all together. And a kid years ago, I remember a freshman, she came up, walked up to Wakeman, and I said, and loads of people have heard this story before, but it's only because it stuck so true to me. I'm a foreigner in America. I didn't, it's not something that happened when I was a kid, but I said, oh, how was your day at school? And she said, Lydia Shaw said hello to me, and she was beaming ear to ear. Lydia was our star player at the time, and I was like, in my head, thinking, like, why does that even make a difference? But then I realized that is a big thing in the hallways, in American culture, that if the popular star of the team says hello to a freshman, it changes our whole outlook on how the day went. So it was kind of from there we were like, all right, well, if that's going to make such a difference, then you older players have to make sure every single kid in this program feels comfortable in this program. And then I think kind of kids stay with it now because they want to be the one that's the older kid paying back. I don't know necessarily if it's something I did or it was more something that the kids did, but it all fell into place, and it keeps kids around the program. And now it's a point of loyalty. If a kid stays with it for 3 years and hasn't maybe made varsity yet, if they show up on their senior year, I'm going to try my best to make sure it works for them because they've shown me 3 years of their life that means that they're a part of something special, and that small reward that I can give back to them is you have another year on varsity, then great. As far as players maybe not stepping onto the field and stuff, that's just about communication and clarity. I don't like to play games with kids. I don't like to have any gray areas with communication. I like to make sure that if maybe they're not a starter, they know they have a role, and that role might be challenging the starter, it might be training well, it might be boosting their confidence. Whatever that role might be, the kids know that that's kind of their job. And if you go back to the state title we won, we beat Glastonbury in the semifinal. We beat them 3-0. It was Natalie's freshman year. We played before games. We'll do some game prep, at least some of the bigger games that we might have certain challenges. And there was a kid that played for Glastonbury. Riley. She plays for Fordham now, and I'm blanking on it. Her first name's Riley. Absolute track star, like so quick. So we went like our non-starters that day. We said you're going to play as Glastonbury, and I had scouted Glastonbury a little bit, and I set them up like Glastonbury, and I coached them like Glastonbury, and I put Liv Kovics, who was a flying machine of her own. I put her out in the side. Riley Carroll is her name. I said you're Riley Carroll today, and our non-starters beat our starters the day before Glastonbury 3-2.
Wow.
And I was saying that's Glastonbury just beat us 3-2. So when we won the game the next day, we won 3-0. We were prepared because of the kids who didn't play. Mm-hmm. I credited that victory to the kids that didn't play because of the way they trained to get the players ready for the actual game. And it's like small things like that. It's a massive game. They now feel like they've really done something in the game because our kids who started were properly prepared for it. And thankfully, the kid Riley Carroll didn't have many opportunities in that game because they were prepared for kind of our pace and how to play against it. So, yeah, any little small things that kind of keeps the kids who maybe aren't getting the game time they want engaged, that's the most important.
Right, and I think the challenge is from a parent's side is like, we're not at practice size, so the parents, like, they can't see that, but the players were there. They're like, you know, they understand how big a part of the team they are.
Yeah.
So it's like you're always fighting that battle.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I'm not very often fighting that battle with parents on my program because...
Look at that, yeah.
And it's partially because their kids are coming home with a smile on their face and they're not complaining that the coach is playing games with them, that the coach is honest and tells them where they're at and keeps it straight with them and gives them incentive so their role can change. Then then the parents are pretty happy with it. You know what I mean? They don't they don't feel the need to call me up and ask me questions because their kid has all the answers and their kid feels a part of it. So, yeah.
The challenge is the kid communicating to the parent, though.
Yeah, they do
often. That's the challenge, right?
They don't often do that, but sometimes the parent doesn't need the communication because the kid's coming home happy.
Yeah, because it's not about, you know, it should always be about the player, yeah. right? About the player. And we were talking about that, you know, so how sometimes, you know, not sometimes, but it's always about the player.
Yeah.
It's what, you know, are they developing? Are they getting better? And we were talking a little bit about pressure too as well, right? How do they take the pressure? And obviously, when you win so much, like your program's been doing for a while, there's always an expectation, right? At least from it's natural, right? I mean, and I always feel like pressure is a privilege, right? I mean, it's like you want to be a good program, you want to have that pressure, but how do you handle, you know, what's healthy pressure versus non-healthy pressure?
It's hard. The most important thing for me is. Let's say there's big pressure coming up on the big game, and we don't do as well as we might have wanted to do in the big game. I'm never really talking to any individuals as like you let the team down. I try not to add any extra pressure on any kid or any the team. It's more, why did we not do as we wanted to do? It's what should we have done better? And it's a lot of guided discovery with the kids. So they're not just getting a dressing down from the coach. These are the things we asked. They work on. These didn't work. Why did they not work? How can we fix it for the next game? I try to like almost avoid the pressure, but being from Westport and wearing the Staples S on the chest, and I talked to the kids yesterday about this after the game, is we're one high school town. We're not like Fairfield, where they have a little game against Fairfield Ludlow and Fairfield War, where they pick up a trophy at the end and it's a celebration for Fairfield or Darien and New Canaan have what's called the Rivals Cup. We don't need that. We don't need that validation in the season. And I'll probably trigger some response from that. But everybody wants to beat Staples. Everyone brings their best performance against Staples. And the unfortunate thing is, across the board in every sport, if teams beat Staples, they celebrate harder than when they win all their games. And that's just how it is. So you have a natural pressure wearing the S on your chest, but you have to take pride in it and enjoy it and embrace it and kind of use it as your advantage. We're Staples. You want to beat us? All right, come, let's have a challenge. And if you beat us, then you deserve to beat us because you worked hard on that. But I think for the kids in Westport, it's about embracing that challenge, that knowing that every other town wants to beat you, and it's kind of up to you to stop that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it comes, like you said, with the territory, right, of being here. And it's like, I think every program goes through that as well. You know, it's just, and it's fun. Right, I mean, you want to always bring out the best of everybody. When they come to play, they come ready.
Yeah,
and we talked about all that. I want to ask you about a little bit about Wakeman and Loeffler and all that stuff. Yeah. I know we've had some discussion about that. I'm trying to get like everyone's feel like talk to Leon about that. And I'm talking to you about that. You for the most part, you guys have always been on. I mean, I know you played some Loeffler, but what is your take on where the teams play? Is would Loeffler be a big advantage for home field because of the hill, if that was fixed, or do you feel like the turf is a little bit better, or if we had good grass would be a better fit, you know, with the stadium and all that going on?
I think if we're talking about Loeffler and Wakeman, it's a different discussion than turf and grass.
Okay,
and I'm hoping they have both because I know it's a big topic in the town. Yes. I don't want to dive too much into the science and stuff like that behind it all. But if we're talking about just how special it is to play at Loeffler compared to a big game at Wakeman, Loeffler wins every time because of the hill, because of the vantage point the fans get, because of the amount of kids you'll get at school. Then it means the game's in the high school. We don't have to search for parking. We don't have to leave the school campus. We don't have to have kids drive to practice. We don't have to walk up the hill. Everything would be better in the high school. The problem is, the grass down there is horrendous. And a lot of people want to argue about the value of turf compared to the grass. If the town wants to have grass, then that's fine. But they have to maintain it to the level the sport requires.
Agree.
Because if we have grass fields that share lacrosse and share rugby and share football and share baseball, you cannot play soccer on it. Because all those sports, the ball's in the air, our ball's on the floor. And it, it can't be viewed as a wide thing. The reason why we moved from Loughlin to Wakeman is because it suited how the team played. The ball was able to move without it bouncing all over the place. Players' ankles were a little bit more safe with it, with the bobbles. We used to have, years ago, we used to have a guy. Now, if we even want to go back further before me, girls weren't even allowed to play on Loughlin.
I know, when I had one of your older players here, I was at can't remember when
Lauren
the one.
Lauren Garcia.
Yeah, Lauren. And I said that the boys play on Wakeman. She goes, "What? All right, but yeah. Go ahead, continue." Yeah.
So like us even getting to play on Loughlin whenever I became the head coach, or like when Heather Driscoll was the head coach, it was a big thing for girls soccer. And this is 2012. It's not. It's you crazy. Know what I mean? It's not that far back, but we got to play on Loughlin now, like the boys did. In 2012, and it was, everyone was like, this amazing girls soccer making so much progress. What a disgrace that is, by the way. But
couldn't agree more.
We had some like right up until the middle of November, we were playing state games on Loughlin. That's how good the grass was kept. It was well maintained. Fast forward 5 years, you couldn't even train on it. It would get caught up after a game where they used to come and aerate the grass and roll it and line it and cut it down properly before every game. Now they're just throwing sand into the holes that were picked up because somebody's playing and there's a divot, and now they're just throwing sand in it.
Yeah.
And then you do that over the course of a season, the field's just destroyed. The drainage is bad. So if people want to discuss the arguments between the science behind it, do it to your heart's content. But if you're talking about the daily maintenance of a field that makes it able to be played on and safe to be played on, then it's a completely different discussion. And my thing is I've been asking for this turf field at Loughlin for the best part of 5 years. When I first asked for it, it was COVID, and I understood why we couldn't get it. Then, but this time the boys were still playing, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I'm saying it out loud. I've been saying it out loud. Then the boys were still playing down there at Loughlin. We don't need a turf field. They lost their first home game of the season in New Canaan because the grass was too long. Boom, they're up at Wakeman now, like the girls are. And now all of a sudden people are starting to say, yeah, we need turf down there.
Yep. And that's why I ask, because I know it was like, I remember, I think one of the last soccer games that, you know, before prep zone, I used to ref soccer. And it was a JV boys game. And I think I showed you a picture of the red card I ended up giving that game, because the players were like sliding all over the place. It was kind of like a wet day.
Yeah.
And it was awful. But the point that you just made there that I think hopefully get across is that the difference between these other sports that play in grass is that in soccer, the ball is on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thing, because I it's something you know, but you don't actually understand that.
Nobody takes that into consideration.
Yeah.
The other part of it is that I'm kind of annoyed about it. Seeing I'm talking about earlier, the S on the chest, and everyone wants to beat Stables. I tell you where every school beats Stables hands down is facilities for sports.
Yeah.
Every single school beats Westport hands down for facilities and sports. Hands down. You go to Darien High School, they made 5 turf fields brand new all at the same time. You go to New Canaan, they've got 4 turf fields brand new. Like, everywhere you go, they have better facilities for every sport around the FCAC. And that is not it. In my eyes, I'm looking at our school's the best by a mile.
It is.
We're playing on a field at Wakeman that now takes away time from the youth sports. It takes away time for PE at the middle school. They have to now kind of use different areas if we have games. When we're up there, because there's more use on that field with the high school, then there's just a collection of rubbish. For American terms, it's trash.
Yeah.
One of the jobs that we've put in, we always have team jobs this year, and I actually didn't think the kids would enjoy it, but one of the jobs is trash pickup before games, so the field looks presentable. And I bought the kids litter pickers, and they love it. I didn't think they would, but they were like walking around yesterday.
It's great.
And they're having fun with it, but the reality is before that was Mackenzie and I would go up before games and pick it up, but we're picking up after the old guys that play up there who leave beer bottle tops that don't pick up after them. We're picking up after the kids who go up and play on just as an outing. We're picking up after the boys' soccer, the girls' soccer, the boys' lacrosse, the boys' freshman football. And if that's a town field and it's not being looked after and we have to look after it ourselves,
it's sad.
It's not good enough. And I think as a wider community, we need to kind of pitch together and make sure that all these kids are... are getting the right things that, that enhances their developments inside and outside of the classroom.
Yeah, I feel like, it, and I bring it up because, I mean, as much as I like Wakeman, I got great memories from that field. It's like, it's not a stadium, it's a field, right? Yeah. It's like a field. So it's like, you know, the vantage point, it's not the great. I mean, they got some stands there, but you're never going to watch a really good game there. Yeah. The vantage point at, you know, that every other sport has is so much better, right? I mean, because you're up top, you're looking down, like I said. And I personally just missed stuff at Loeffler. It was fun. It was, like Loeffler, I said, the hill.
It was seriously special. But yeah. You win a game down in Loeffler, it was special.
No, it's intimidating. You get there, the crowd's up there. I remember kids with megaphones up there. It was a great memory, right? So hopefully we can... I am going to have VJ on, so I will grill him for that as well. So we'll go get
I don't know if it's a VJ problem, really. He's, to be fair, VJ, he's been working his socks off to try and make sure that the programs, the sports programs, are kind of catered for. In terms of what they need, but you can ask him the question. He'll give you the answer.
Like I said,
I don't think it's a VJ problem.
No, I asked Liam, and I like to get things because everyone, you know, likes about that. I mean, we can talk about lights forever, right? Because I think we should have lights so in all of our fields, so we can get more people to the games. But you know, we'll get one step at a time. Let's get Loeffler turf, right? And let's do that. But I feel like things only get done when people talk about it. Mm-hmm. Right, so we I love the venue, like to have a stream to talk about it, because people understand. Yeah, we're still winning all this stuff. We're doing this, but hey, we should be better than this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember doing the rec teams. I mean, playing the back of Coley Town, like, you know, like in that deep field in the mud there. It's like, you know, what is this? You know,
it's like you should go to Coley Town. It's no better.
No, yeah, it's like I've coached there enough, so I know all that is.
Yeah.
But listen, let's shift gears here and. The
went down the wrong
spot. All good. This year, as we, you know, we got an opening game. You're open at home,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're going to go through the non-conference games, and you're going to get into the FCI games. What is there an overall theme for this year for the program? Something like I said last year, we talked about, you know, how, at least from my standpoint, it's like you had this entire group that, you know, was with you, and now, you know, you, like you said, you Natalie moves on. Yeah, and I don't say lose is not the right term. It's moving on.
Natalie's still on staff, by the way.
She is?
Yeah, okay. She's available a couple of days a week where she comes after school. She's in as a team manager, but she's being viewed as an assistant coach for us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and it's awesome. Like, even the other day in a preseason game, when the captains take the kids down to the corner and they do a little bit of a talk about the game, the coaches will kind of organize what they speak about before they go down. And Natalie was going to go, and I said, no, you're here with us. And we asked her about her observations, and I went, all right, you're going to talk about that. And she was like, oh, this is what you guys do over here. I'm like, yeah, we kind of organize that we don't step on each other, and we make sure it's all one thing each. And
right.
So Natalie's going to do some stuff for me. Like, if she can't be at the practices, I might send her some game footage that she can scout a little bit for me, and just so we can challenge her thought from a coach's perspective. So at least if she's not playing for me, she's still developing some way or another, at least being challenged and provoked through kind of her thoughts on the game from a non-player perspective.
Okay, and let me ask you about that then. It's a Natalie question, but not really a Natalie question, because as human beings, a lot of times, you know, when people move on and do that, it can be hard to accept it, but you are viewing this, if I'm reading this correctly, a lot from Natalie doing what she's doing is better for her,
mm-hmm.
right? And that you're putting, you know, Natalie as a person, as a player in her development, you know, ahead of maybe what would benefit you as a coach in the program. What is the thought process behind that? How'd you get the decision? How did you guys talk about it? Because if she's still around, it seems like it's still something very good going on.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that? How that decision came about? What happened there? Because I think it's a topic, you know, like I said, it's a topic in the FCX. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well first off, I've got a great relationship with the Chudowskis as a family. Like, Evelyn went through our program and is now playing at Cornell and was a captain for us and was an amazing kid. So Natalie, as a younger kid, was watching her older sister play as a freshman for the varsity team. So Natalie was kind of always around the program before she was in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody with eyes knew Natalie's talent and knew she was coming. So for me, it was how do I nurture that? How do I kind of help her along, and how do I make her feel comfortable that yes, she's in you're in your big sister's program right now, and she's your captain. But how do you become your? And she, as a player, she couldn't be denied. She was the star, and they have her and Annabeth Edwards on the same team for 3 years. We were always going to have success, But with Natalie, it was, I kind of took the decision out of her hands, because I knew it was kind of weighing heavily on her, because the whole team, she's still friends with everybody. Like, my captains this year are some of her best friends. She hangs out with them daily, off the field, outside of the classroom. So for us, it was, you have bigger things they look for. You need to be ready for Duke. We need to get you set up in a more competitive training environment, so when you step in there, because some of those kids that are already at Duke, some of them were already training in professional environments. Most of them are internationals. And yep. She's an international player who played in the DR national team and the US national team, but was training with, and this is no disrespect to the kids who played Staples, she was training at a lower level than her teammates at Duke will be. And for her to be ready, she has to be training in that professional environment. So we got her set up at Gotham City, which was great. And her club team, New York Soccer Club, have been amazing at trying to enhance her profile and enhance her training environment. So I think she's in good hands, but because our friends are still in the program, because I've got a good relationship with Natalie, and because Mackenzie has a great relationship with Natalie, she wanted to still be a part of it. So she was like, "All right, well, if you're not going to let me play, and I want to give back still." And she was like, "Can I be a team manager? What role can we think up that still has me involved?" And like this new role is something that Natalie and I kind of developed together that made sure she was still being involved and still felt part of it. And she's a great kid, and she speaks with so much confidence about the game, and because of the stature in the game she's had, all the girls listen. So all the kids are happy for her to be around and helping out. And the best thing we can do is make sure she's ready for Duke. It's not about anything else.
Yeah, it's amazing. Again, it goes back to the same motif from last year, right? Which was, you know, even if you're not playing, you still want to be around the program, and that speaks volumes for what you and Max McKenzie are doing. So I think that congratulations to that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
listen, I'm looking forward to the season. I can't wait. We'll be there game one. It's going to be great. And, you know, it's fall, it's soccer, right?
Yeah,
it's
everything
that's about. I mean, I really think we're going to have a good season, like I said. And sometimes, you know, the players get a chance to step up this year. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and a lot of the league, maybe if you minus Trumbull and Greenwich, I would say, a lot of the league are in the same position as us. We all lost big players. You look at St. Joe's, and Jack does a great job of always making sure he has good players around, but when you lose the quality of Pino and Parker, like we lost Natalie and Annabelle,
yep.
That's the top four players in the state off the league. So where I said earlier I didn't know how we matched up to the other teams, it's because of things like that. Like Fairfield Ludlow lost Lucy Herbert, who scored maybe 20-odd goals for them. New Canaan lost all the goalkeeper, the centre-backs, the left-back, the two centre-mids, who all won multiple lacrosse titles. And most teams have kind of lost big bits of quality, so it's all about whose younger kids are willing to step up. Where Trumbull, on the other hand, have retained everybody, and they've always kind of been on the periphery of doing something well. So maybe this could be their year. We're going to try our best to stop everybody from having their year, but I think as long as our girls keep doing what they've been doing and training and keep the camaraderie and keep believing in each other, I think we could have a pretty good year still.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be fun. So how was your summer? Summer was good?
Yeah, summer was busy, but it was good. I actually managed to squeeze a vacation in for the first time in years.
Where'd you go?
I went to San Diego.
You did San Diego?
Yeah.
I've never been to San Diego. Was it fun?
Beautiful. Yeah. But it started off crazy rushed because I was at North Carolina with my younger CFC team in the regional tournament. And my original flight for San Diego was booked for the second, but my flight home from North Carolina was the first. And I knew that was going to be tight anyway, but if the flight was on, I would have been fine. In my head, I was thinking if we get knocked out of the group stages, I would fly home early and I'd have to be prepared. My team ended up winning regionals again, which was an unbelievable run.
Yeah.
Again, that's 2 years in a row now. That team's been the Eastern Region champions for the ECNL.
And that team is Addy and Matt, all those play Alexis on. Yeah, exactly.
So it was a great run. But then as everyone's taking pictures and that after the game, it's a 10 o'clock in the morning game, everyone's taking pictures, congratulations, boom, boom, flight's getting cancelled. And I'm like, oh God, I have a decision to make. So I was either supposed to wait around till 6 or just rent a car and drive. And I just thought, you know what, I can't take the risk. I just drove. So I just drove from North Carolina, 10 hours home, changed my suitcase, went and picked up my pals, and we just went straight to the airport for San Diego. But the vacation was great. San Diego's beautiful. It was over 4th of July weekend, so we had enough time to enjoy ourselves.
That's awesome. Played some golf?
I didn't play any golf. Because I played golf in North Carolina. We stayed in a golf resort, so I played quite a bit of golf there. Then I just enjoyed myself and vacation. We spent the first 4 days just checking out what the nightlife was like.
Yeah, listen, then, you're a single guy. You can enjoy that. Yeah,
and then spent the next 4 days then kind of touring the West Coast and going up the Pacific Highway and the Pacific Coast. And yeah, it was beautiful. Like I don't necessarily need to see like going to main tourist attractions. That's never really been my thing. I like to see like seasides and countryside and scenery and
yep.
So like just driving up the coast, even though the like the dirt was different colored and the trees were palm trees, it reminded me of the West Coast of Ireland.
Really?
But I think it was more just kind of like having the luxury of just staring out in the seaside.
Yeah, it's like calming. Just, it's great, isn't it?
It really is. And the West Coast of Ireland is some of the most beautiful scenery ever, and you're just staring out into the seaside. So yeah,
that's pretty cool. Now we got to eventually get together and play some golf, because that would be great. Maybe. So what's your handicap in golf? Let me put you on the spot here.
I'm playing off of 16 right now. Yeah,
that's not bad.
Yeah, but my last four rounds have been in the 80s, and I feel pretty good about it. Yeah.
Here, a funny golf story for me is that so I went to a golf outing in Kansas City. And it was it was a very famous course. I don't remember who. I think it was Palmer or somebody designed it. Anyway, so it's the closest to the pin, right?
Yeah.
So on a par three, of course, but it was a long par three. So I win it. So we get to the awards banquet, right? And again, par three, right? So the guy comes up, he's giving me the trophy, giving me the gift card, and he goes, "So what club did you use?" And I say, "Driver." And everyone started laughing because this is a par three and the guy's getting the driver in there. So yeah. That tells you everything you need to know about my game, right?
Liam, the new boys coach, is actually, he's a better golfer than me.
All right.
At one point he was playing off seven and we were playing, he's trying to get a 10. We're like, no, they gave you a 7 3 days ago. You're playing off a 7. But
that's fun.
Thankfully, I beat him the last time I played. So
this is a competition there, a new healthy competition, right? I like that.
Yeah, it's been there for a while, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get that going, because that's fun. But it's like, I love the game, but the camaraderie on the game, like the amount of time you spend in these things, you end up learning about each other. That's what it's all about.
Part of the reason why I love golf is it's probably less to do with the sport and more to do with kind of the mental piece it gives me. I
agree.
I turn my phone off and that 4 hours, nobody gets in touch with me. I just turn my phone off and I go out and I play golf with the boys. And even if like there's only two of us and we get paired with two other guys who are randomly playing that day, and they're just like older guys, we just sit and chat to these people and you get to know about. It just kind of takes you away from like the reality of what's happening at 2 o'clock. And you know, it's a good thing. Tom Newell and I. Tom's the Ludlow head coach. We like to play 9 holes on a game day.
Ah, look at that. That's a little tradition.
Yeah, but the only game day we don't play is when we play each other. But we like to just go play 9 holes, just turn our phone off in the morning, and then we walk and we just kind of talk about it. And it's a way of us kind of like, you know, helping each other relax before a game, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, there's this thing about, I always enjoy playing 9 holes too, because it's like, it's quick and it kind of gives you that little, you know, that disconnect from maybe what's going on in your life, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. I love it. Yeah, this summer we played a course in Jersey, and we get there and it's me and my two sons. And the starter says, "Do you know what you're in for?" I'm like, "No." He goes, "This is the fifth hardest course in the country." And I'm like, "All right." So the way it went is like by hole 8, I stopped keeping score.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not going to go over well, because it's probably one of the courses, like, and I give the names, like, you know, there's hills all over the place, fairways are like this narrow. That point I knew was like, you know what, let's just have a good time. Let's forget about the next hole. And that's what I think golf gives you. It's like, to be a good golfer, you have to almost kind of like forget the next shot and go on the next one, mm-hmm. right? And that's, I remember, so it can be like that too. Okay, so you can't rely on your mistake. You have to keep on moving forward, and that helps you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Doesn't it annoy you though when you go to a golf course and like the starter guy is just like, and he's just saying, "Oh, this is dead hard." Like,
I know.
Why are you telling me it's hard? I'm here to have a laugh,
a good time, right? A good time.
It's like, not like I walked up here with Tiger Woods and McIlroy beside me, where I'm here to shank a few shots and have a laugh. Like,
I know. It's the out there. The coolest thing about that course is that it was, you know, there's all these houses and things that.
Yeah.
So I guess the people who live in these houses, they would pick up balls and they would put like a bucket for sale.
Yeah.
So basically, like I remember in Hole 4, first time we got there, they had like Ziplocs with 10 golf bags for $2.50.
That's actually pretty good.
Right?
Some of the balls would be Pro V1.
Right. There was like, I mean, there was a mixture of balls, but we were buying balls every hole, yeah. Right? We were like, I mean, every hole, whatever time they had it. So I think they have three times throughout the hole. So at the end of the round, my younger son said to me, says, this was the best round I ever had because I've got way more balls than I did before.
Yeah.
And I've only spent like $10. I'm like, see? That's a good idea, right? Think about that. If you go and the people who live there and the people who are playing golf, like, why wouldn't you buy it, right? Yeah, why wouldn't you buy those balls?
I actually went to the Travelers Championship this year on the Sunday. And it was an off the cuff thing.
Fun.
I was just watching it, and I'm a Tommy Fleetwood fan, and he was leading.
Yeah.
He ended up not winning, but just that day was great. But when I was up there, like the similar thing, there was like people in their gardens alongside there in Cromwell, and they were selling like drinks, waters, and Gatorades and stuff for like two for $4. Where you go to the main stand and it's like $19 for
it. I know, you're like, this is what I'm buying. There's more, right?
That's what it's all about, eh?
And I want to end with this. You mentioned Tommy Fleetwood, and I read something he said the other day. He said, you know, teach your kid to be a better person first.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if you saw that quote from him. I thought it was really cool. And that seems like it's a lot of what you guys are doing with the program. And I love that. Coach Barry, I can't thank you enough. It's always so much fun to have you here.
Yeah,
we'll see you in a few days on the Fitch, right?
Yeah.
So I can't wait next week as we start the season. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coach, thanks again.
Anytime. Thank you.